CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Craig Unger's new book is Den of Spies, Reagan, Carter, and the Secret History of the Treason That Stole the White House. These many decades later, this is American presidential history. And therefore, caution is well advised. However, we have a mystery to solve, and perhaps it's solved in front of me, but I have the author here to ask. On January 20th, 1980, Ronald Reagan is sworn in as President of the United States, Inauguration Day. And as he begins his inaugural speech, the hostages, I believe, are still in custody, incarcerated, trapped in Tehran. And as he ends his speech, the announcement comes that they've been freed. Is that accurate, Craig? Did it happen that way?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, Jimmy Carter, they had agreed to release them while Jimmy Carter was president. And this was the last day of Jimmy Carter's presidency. He got zero sleep. He may have napped on a couch in the Oval Office. He was making sure again and again that every I had been dotted, every T had been crossed, and he kept waiting anxiously for them to release them during his administration. And there, while Reagan was up on the podium taking the oath of office, and it was about 3 minutes later that the hostages were actually, they were actually in planes, they were on the tarmac, but they did not take off until Reagan took the oath of office. And, you know, it was one of those things where it seems obvious on the face of it that the Reagan campaign had to have made a secret deal. Before he became president, he had no authority whatsoever to negotiate with Iran. And his presidency was roughly 3 minutes old, and we all saw him on the podium. So when did he, could he have possibly have met with Iran? That was not possible. The Onion, the satirical magazine, had a wonderful joke about it when they looked back from the, they did a book on the 20th century looking back on this day. They said, they had the headline, Ronald Reagan inaugurated, urges America not to put two and two together. And so something had to have happened. That was the great mystery, but no one seemed to notice.
These many decades later, I report to Craig that recently I've had a happy conversation with the biographer Max Boot, who writes a column for The Washington Post, but he's written a massively, carefully researched biography of Ronald Reagan. And it's happy to have that because Reagan lived many lives before he arrived at the White House. But in there, when we come to the story of the campaign of 1980, Max Boot, as a biographer, acknowledges the October surprise, acknowledges that the information gathered today is sufficient to say that it happened. Now, I've not been looking around for other reactions to your publication, but there is that old understanding in Britain that publication brings information. Is that true so far, Craig?
Yes, it is. I mean, I got a wonderful call from Portugal just yesterday with some new information on this. And it's everything confirms what anything I've gotten confirms what I've reported. And I think what's amazing is that since publication, no one has challenged, to my knowledge, challenged a single fact that I've reported.
And details, there are diaries, some pages missing. There are diaries we don't know about. There's the Bush Library. There's the Reagan Library. There's the Clinton Library. There's the George W. Bush Library. All of these libraries everywhere has not been searched thoroughly yet. Is that true, Craig? I mean, I'm wondering, that story you tell of Bob Perry discovering in a former ladies' bathroom documents that were sitting right in plain view of the Congress's investigation. So is it your assumption that there's information out there that we haven't yet, that we have, but we haven't yet correctly understood?
Absolutely. I mean, I have to say that, when I got Bob Perry's archives, it's 23 gigabytes. A gigabyte of print has something like 678,000 pages of information. So this is an enormous amount of data. It's more than any one single person can read. And I'm sure there is other information stashed away in various other presidential libraries.
Finally, the author, we have a minute. Why is this important for young people to understand? How does this help us here in the 21st century?
You know, I, to me, it's a context in terms of where we are today. And I've done 6 books on the Republican Party's assault on democracy. This was one of them. It's the earliest one that I've investigated. But there were others. There was one in 1968 with Anna Chenault and Richard. This was Richard Nixon running against Hubert Humphrey. And the Vietnam peace talks suddenly ended just before the end, just before the election. Well, the reason happens to be was that Nixon, who was not in office at the time, got a woman named Anna Chenault to tell Vietnam to back out of the peace talks.
30 seconds, Greg.
So we've seen that kind of thing again and again. It was covert back in those days. But today we have Donald Trump and his ties to Russia. And, I think there's a consistent theme here where the Republicans have often relied on third party relations with adversarial, hostile countries who've intervened in American elections.
Craig Unger, the book is Den of Spies, which is the name of the old American embassy in Tehran. And I envy him having visited Reagan, Carter, and the secret history of the treason that stole the White House. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.